But we are thankful you're with us this morning. And when I begin to pray and ask the Lord what he would have me to bring to this service, my heart and my thought was something geared toward anniversary. And the Lord took me a completely different direction. I learned a long time ago to do what he wants to do, and then he blesses it. Amen. So I don't really have a text this morning. I told someone before I got started, I said, I am going to try to teach more than preach. And I don't know how it's going to come out, but I'm going to endeavor to do more teaching than preaching this morning. So let's just bow our heads and let's pray before we begin with the word that the Lord has laid upon my heart. Father, we are thankful and we are grateful for your blessings in our life. We are so thankful and we are so grateful, Father, that, Lord, you've honored us here this morning with your presence. And, Lord, we thank you for the word that has been revealed to our hearts. I pray this morning that as I begin to open up the scriptures and begin to read from your word and begin to teach from your word, I pray this morning, Father God, that you will let the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest both upon myself to enable me to speak what you would have me to speak. I pray, Lord, that you will let the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon these that are here in the house of God and those that will listen by way of the internet. I pray, Father, that you will let your presence and your anointing rest upon them that they may hear what the Spirit is speaking to our hearts. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would break every yoke of bondage, every yoke of hindrance, and give us liberty in the house of the Lord to celebrate your word. Father, I ask that you would let everything that is done be done to glorify Jesus, and everything that is done to be done to edify your people. And Father, for all of these things, we will give you the praise and we will give you the thanks. And we ask them this morning, Lord, in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Praise God. So as I begin this morning and begin to share with you what the Lord has laid upon my heart this past week. Now, I've been in ministry right at 30-something years. And how many of you know we all need to be continually learning, right? Well, this past week, the Lord allowed me to see something that I've never connected before. I've never seen it before. He enlightened my heart and began to reveal something to me this past week, and I feel like it is so relevant for our time and many even here in this service this morning. And I told the Lord, I said, you know, God, I love it when you pull the scales off of our eyes and you begin to give us things that we've never seen in the scripture before and that we've never experienced. And we grow from revelation to revelation and from glory to glory. That's what this past week was for me. So let me kick my message off this morning by just simply asking a question. How many of us here this morning have ever faced a difficult situation? How many of us here have ever faced a difficult circumstance? A problem? I mean, it's a question that we all know the answer to if we're truthful, right? Everybody could go, count me in, right? Amen. Well, I just want you to understand this morning that life often will give us things that will cause us to have stress and anxiety and will cause us to have confusion and will cause us to have doubts and fears and unbelief. But it is during those times that we are challenged and our faith is challenged. You've heard me say this before. Untested faith is useless. Hello? Well, what tests our faith? Hardship. What tests our faith? Trials. What tests our faith? Amen. What tests our faith is when we are going through hell and high water and come out victorious on the other side. Our faith grows. Our faith is strengthened. You cannot have a testimony without a test. You don't need a miracle. You don't need a miracle from the Lord unless you got a problem. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. But it is during those times that we are tried and that we are tested that God does something really special for us. And oftentimes we don't even realize it. So today I hope that you will discover with me that, amen, when we are tested and tried, that God offers to us an extraordinary mercy, an extraordinary measure of mercy. That's what I want to title my message this morning. Amen, an extraordinary measure of mercy. So first of all, let me define for you the biblical definition of mercy. And this is what I found. Forbearance shown to an offender, or a lenient, compassionate act performed out of a desire to relieve suffering. Wow. I really, really dig that interpret of the word mercy. A lenient, compassionate act performed out of a desire to relieve suffering. An action motivated by compassion. And you may be thinking to yourself this morning, that sounds a lot like grace. And while it is true, grace and mercy have similar concepts, they are distinct and they are different. Amen. Mercy is when you do not get what you do deserve. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. Mercy cancels out punishment. Grace adds favor and blessing to our life. Mercy is God's compassion extended to men in their misery. Have you ever been in a miserable situation? Mercy is God's compassion, His tender compassion toward us in our times of testing and in our times of trial. I pray today that before I finish this lesson or this service this morning, that you will see that there are times in our life when God will absolutely, positively extend to us an extraordinary measure of His grace and His mercy and His power so that it will help us to overcome. The scriptures that I want to bring to your attention this morning. The first thing that I want us to grasp, and in order to grasp what God has laid upon my heart, the first thing that I want to explain to you is the amount of epistles or the amount of books that the Apostle Paul is credited for writing. So the Apostle Paul is credited for writing at least 13 books in our Bible. At least 13. And there are those that would debate that the Apostle Paul also wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm one of those. I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And if that's true, amen, then the Apostle Paul can be accredited for writing at least 14 books of the New Testament. At least 14 different times, the Apostle Paul takes pen in hand and he begins to write as he is inspired of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to put for good measure, understand that the Apostle Paul was the writer, but he was not the author.
Amen.
Hello? Somebody said, now, Pastor Gary, how in the world can you say that? If Paul wrote it, Paul wrote it. Well, let me just tell you that the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
Amen.
And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished for every good work. Now, did you get the first part of that scripture? It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit authored and inspired Paul what to write. Can you back that up with another scripture? How about 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21? The Bible said, for the prophecy or the word of God came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The God's Word translation says that no prophecy or no word from God ever originated with a human. Instead, it was given by the Holy Spirit as humans spoke under God's direction. So Paul was the writer, but I'm going to tell you something. It was the Holy Ghost that was the author of God's Holy Word. And 14 different times, at least 13 that we know of, 14 that could be debated, 13 different times, the Apostle Paul takes a pen in hand under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to write what God himself wanted him to write. So that truth, amen, the truth of the matter is the Holy Spirit inspired what Paul was to write. And here is what I desire for us to see. The Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write what he wrote in 13, maybe 14 different books. And in 10 of the epistles that Paul writes, in 10 of them, the apostle begins by greeting, or his salutation is very much the same. He begins to greet his readers with two very important words, and those important words are grace and peace. Grace and peace. Turn with me, and I'm going to have you turn there so we can read them together, because I want to lay a little bit of a foundation and I want you to literally see what I'm speaking about. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Now, verse number 1 through verse number 6, Paul is part of his greeting, but it is chapter 1, verse number 7 that I want you to see. Paul says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. Just move forward in your Bible, one book. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. Paul says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, another book forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all of the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 1. I'm laying a foundation here. I want you to see exactly what the Lord allowed me to see. Galatians chapter 1, one book forward, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Christ Jesus and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I took the time this morning to go to every single book that Paul wrote, all 10 of them, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and Philemon, all 10 of those books begin with a very similar greeting where Paul always says, grace and peace be unto you. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. 10 books. And the question that you may be thinking to yourself this morning is, okay, so why is that relevant? Well, it's relevant for several reasons, but the first thing that I want you to understand, amen, is that the Apostle Paul is called the Apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. If you're a student of the Bible, you know that Peter was an apostle to the Jewish people and that Paul was an apostle to the Gentile world. Amen. And so Paul, as he begins to write, Paul used a primary, customary greeting that the Greeks used in that day and in that time. During New Testament times, they would greet one another with the salutation of grace. They would, instead of walking up to someone and saying, hey, how are you? Hi, hello. Or, hey, bro, how's it going? They said, grace. Grace unto you. Grace be unto you. And really in the Greek, the word grace carries with it the implication of favor. And so what they were really saying was, may the favor of God, grace be unto you. May the favor of God rest upon you. May the favor and the blessing of God be yours today. Hello, may the grace of God, the favor of God be yours today. And so they would greet one another with the word grace. And it had great implication. Paul was not only speaking when he wrote those 10 books to just the Galatian world, but he was also writing those books for the benefit of the Jewish world. And so Paul also addresses, amen, Paul being a Jew himself, he also addresses the Jews. And he says, grace, favor, that's the Gentile greeting, and shalom. That's the Jewish greeting, shalom, peace. They still greet one another today. Centuries later in Israel, they don't say hello, they don't say howdy, they say shalom, peace. May the peace of God be yours. May the peace, may the favor and the peace of God rest upon your life. Amen. May the blessing of God, the peace of God be yours today. So by using both of these two greetings or these two salutations, Paul or the Holy Spirit through Paul is reaching out to embrace all humanity, both the Jewish world and the Gentile world. Understanding that historical fact this morning, amen, that Paul deliberately writes grace and peace to reach out to them and to embrace them and suggest that this is for you and for all of you, for each one of you. In essence, Paul was saying to those of you that are Greeks, amen, I greet you with grace and I greet you with favor. And to those of you that are Jewish, I greet you with peace, shalom. I greet you in the peace of the Lord. But it is in the other books, what is in the other books that begins to open our understanding that there is an extraordinary measure of mercy, an extraordinary mercy of God that's extended for those who are going through hard places. It's what's in the other three books that reveal to us that when we are overwhelmed with life, and that when we are feeling stressed and we feel like the floodgates are coming in upon us, that God has an extra special measure of mercy to bestow upon our life, an extra special tender compassion. As a father that looks upon a hurting child, he looks upon them and he has an extraordinary compassion to reach out to their hurting and in their need. That's the way our God is. So in all 10 of the books, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, on down, all 10 of those books, he says, grace and peace. But in 1st and 2nd Timothy, and in the book of Titus, he adds something else to his salutation. 1st and 2nd Timothy and the book of Titus, he not only greets them, amen, by the Holy Spirit in grace and peace, but he is led of the Holy Spirit to include the word mercy. He's instructed of God to include the word mercy. And in each of those three books, Paul inserts the word mercy right between grace and peace in his salutation or in his greeting. And his greeting reads in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to read with you 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. 1 Timothy 1 and 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior and the Lord Jesus, which is our hope. Look at verse 2, unto who? Unto Timothy. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ, to Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 1 and 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and according of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you not find it intriguing? Do you not find it a bit intriguing that in 10 of the books, his salutation is grace and peace? He's writing to the entire Greek world, and he's writing to the entire Jewish world, and he greets them with favor and with peace. And now he writes three books, two to Timothy and one to Titus, and he addresses them specifically to not the congregation, but he addresses them specifically to individuals. And he says, grace, mercy, and peace. Amen. Now let me just point out to you this morning that in the 10 books that the Apostle Paul wrote, there was nothing mentioned of mercy, right? We read about 5 of them. If you can take my word for the other five, or you can look them up later this afternoon, I'm telling you that there's no mention of the word mercy in the greeting anywhere in any of the other 10. Just in those 10, he says, grace and peace. Nothing is said of mercy. However, in every single book that he writes to the individual, Timothy and Titus, Paul is led of the Holy Spirit to include a special invocation of mercy, a special notarization, if you will, that, hey, there's not only grace and favor available, but God has an extraordinary amount of mercy to bestow upon your life. Amen. God has something special to bestow upon your life. Grace, mercy, and peace. So why did Paul alter his traditional greeting? And the answer to that question is historical. The answer to that question is you have to understand what Timothy and Titus were going through in their life. Number one, the answer to that question, why did Paul alter his greeting? The answer is twofold. Number one, he wasn't writing the entire congregation. He was writing to a specific individual, a specific purpose. He was writing to Timothy and to Titus. The second answer to that question is that Paul was writing to someone who was feeling absolutely overwhelmed by life. He was writing to them at a time in their life when they felt absolutely swamped, absolutely overwhelmed. And he writes to them to tell them that God has a special measure of mercy. God has an extraordinary measure of mercy to bestow upon your life as you are walking through this troublesome time. Let me give you the historical references concerning both Timothy and Titus. Both Timothy and Titus were facing overwhelming tasks. Neither one of them, no doubt, neither one of them felt as though within their own power they would be able to accomplish what God had sent them to do. No doubt they were feeling overwhelmed, and no doubt they had uncertainties, and no doubt they felt doubts and fears that they were not going to succeed and that they were not going to be victorious. And so the Holy Spirit inspires the Apostle Paul not only to write grace and peace, but he said right in the middle of it, I want you to tuck in an extraordinary measure of mercy, and I want you to remind them that what they're going through is not bigger than our God. The historical facts. Timothy was a young pastor. Timothy was a young pastor of one of the largest growing churches in the world at that time. His church was literally exploding with numbers. People were being added to the church, and the church was growing exponentially. And there, no doubt, there were times that Timothy did not feel up to the task. He was faced with ministerial duties and pastoral duties, and he was faced with setting people in leadership positions and placing individuals in places within the church who would be faithful with the word and faithful to God and faithful examples. And no doubt, Timothy was literally feeling overwhelmed. He was a young man. And no doubt he felt like he was literally being swamped with all of this responsibility. No doubt he felt his inability, and he just felt like he in himself could not make it. Amen. And when Paul writes 1 Timothy, he writes to him and he says, Timothy, I want you to remember, I want you to be reminded of not only God's grace that is sufficient, and not only the peace of God that passes all understanding, but I want you to remember that God has got some extra mercy to those who are going through hard times. The challenge for Timothy was feeling all of the pressure, the pastoral ministry, and feeling the pressure of choosing godly leaders in a congregation that was exploding in numbers.
No doubt Timothy felt undereducated. No doubt Timothy felt inadequate. No doubt Timothy, have you ever felt like any of those things? Hello? Amen. And God said to Paul, I want you to just write in your greeting that not only is there grace, but I want you to remind him that there is tender compassion, that there is mercy from God. There is an extraordinary measure of mercy that is available to those that are suffering and those that are feeling the pressure and those that are feeling the crunch. And he writes to him in 1 Timothy 1 and 2, unto Timothy, my son, in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from our God. Several years later, Paul would write his second book, 2 Timothy. And he would write it to Timothy once again, who was feeling pressure for a different reason. He was feeling embattled for a different reason. You see, the political climate at that time in that area had changed, and the Roman Empire was oppressing Christians. They were killing them. They were taking them and making sport of them. And now the Timothy's church, the one that had flourished so greatly and had grown so exponentially, it now was decreasing in number. And people were being slain, and people were, amen, leaving the church, and people were leaving because, amen, they didn't want to fall under the Roman judgment. And they were turning their back upon God, and they were going back to their idolistic ways. And they were turning their back upon the Lord. And Timothy's once exploding church was now diminishing in size. And Timothy stood and watched as people that had claimed to know Christ had turned their back upon God. And they were walking away from the Lord. And Timothy felt overwhelmed, felt overburdened, felt heartbroken. For those that were leaving and those that were turning their back upon God, the tragedy within his church was devastating. The size of his prized congregation was declining right before his eyes. And leaders were defecting. Those that he thought would stand faithful and those that he thought would be faithful to the end were turning their back upon the Lord, turning their back upon the church and going back into their wicked ways. And Timothy's heart was broken. And so Paul takes a pen in hand and writes the book of 2 Timothy. And the Holy Spirit inspires Paul in his greeting not only to write grace and peace, but the second time God says, I want you to remind Timothy that there is an extraordinary measure of mercy, amen, extended to those that are going through hard times. I want you to make him aware that there's not only favor and grace and peace that passes all understanding, but I want him to be reminded that I have a tender compassion upon his situation and I understand what he's going through. Titus is going through something similar. If you read the book of Titus, it's a very short book. As with Timothy, Titus found himself in a difficult situation and in difficult circumstances. After Paul had preached and established the church in Crete, Paul then says to Titus, I want you to stay here and I'm going on, but I want you to stay here and I want you to choose leaders and establish the church and get the church in order. Look at verse number 5 of the first book or the first chapter of the book of Titus. This is what it says. Paul is writing and he's reminding Titus. He said, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that were wanting. In other words, I left you in Crete with a monumental, colossal job. I left you in Crete with a monumental, colossal work. When I left you with the instructions that you were to set in order the things within the church. Choose out wise men. Set things in order. Amen. That the church might grow upon a strong foundation. And that the church might grow. Amen. And be set in order. And so when Paul is writing to Titus, again the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to remind Titus that there is not only an endless supply of God's grace, but there is also an endless supply of God's mercy and of God's peace. Amen. God, let me just tell you something this morning, church. Amen. God wants us to know that whatever we are going through and that whatever we are faced with, there is grace and there is an endless supply of mercy to tender compassion of God. Amen. To help see us through whatever we are going through. In all three of these situations where Paul alters his salutation, he is reminding them of God's grace and reminding them of God's peace. But he is also reminding them, amen, that there is an extraordinary measure of mercy available to their lives. Amen. There is an extraordinary measure of mercy for their lives. Beloved, you may be here this morning and you are faced with difficult circumstances. You may be here this morning, amen, and you are faced with difficult trials. Let me just tell you something this morning. God never, ever, ever one time promised you or me that there would not be heartache. He never promised you. He never promised me that there would not be times when we were tested and we were tried. As a matter of fact, he said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." God never ever promised any of us a rose garden. Here's what he did promise. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. And my grace is sufficient. And my peace passes all understanding. And my mercy is limitless. If you'll just trust in me." Hallelujah. So this past week, I'm going to tell on myself. So this past week, I'm all stressed out. I'm all worried. I'm wringing my hands about a particular situation. I'm laying up at night. Sleep don't come sweet. It's on my mind. It's in my heart. It's boiling over. I'm praying about it. Long about Thursday, the Spirit of the Lord began to just talk to me about the tender compassion of God. Began to speak to me. The Lord said, go to the first book of Romans. Read verse 7. All right. Great, I love that. That's beautiful. I don't get it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay. I read it. Great, that's wonderful. What are you trying to say? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, I get it now. You just want me to read the first verse of every book, right? I got the First Timothy and I went, wait a minute. I went back to Romans. He never said nothing about mercy. I went back to 1 Corinthians. He didn't say nothing about mercy. I went to 2 Corinthians. He didn't say nothing about mercy. I went to 2 Timothy. Oh, there it is again. Mercy. I went back to Galatians. He didn't say nothing about mercy. Ephesians, nope, it's not there. Philippians, nope. Colossians, nope. Went to Titus. There it is again. Got to be something with Timothy and Titus. What is it? The Lord began to talk to me, began to show me that when we are struggling and we are going through a situation and we are going through trouble, if we will allow Him, He's not just going to force it upon us, but if we will allow Him, He will not only extend grace, He will not only extend peace, but He will extend an extraordinary measure of mercy that has compassion upon our hearts and upon our lives. So if you're here this morning and you are struggling, amen, let me just tell you, God has an extraordinary measure of mercy to give to you. Let me just share with you what the psalmist said. Psalms chapter 94 and verse number 18. This is what the psalmist said. He said, when I said, my foot slippeth. How many of you know when your foot slippeth, you fall? That's not in the scripture. That's common sense, right? When the foot slippeth, another one bites the dust. The psalmist said, my foot slippeth. And your mercy, O God, your mercy, O God, held me up. I was ready to go down and ready to hit the dust, but you picked me up and held me up by your mercy. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 34. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Psalms 103, verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous. He's got plenty. Plenteous in mercy. He has an overwhelming amount of mercy. In your overwhelming situation. Psalms 103 verse number 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that reverence him, and his righteousness is unto their children's children. Hallelujah. God not only has sufficient grace and peace that passes all understanding, but God has an extraordinary measure of mercy when you are struggling in your life. And if you will follow the psalmist's instruction, he said, my foot was slipping, but it was the mercy of God that held me up and picked me up and caused me to be able to stand. Let me give you a biblical example of what I'm talking about besides just Timothy and Titus. How many of you remember the story of Joseph? Book of Genesis. It's right there in the beginning. Joseph is betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. And he's a godly man. He's innocent. He's a godly man. Well, why did God let something like that happen when he was a good boy? Right? God had a plan. And the plan wasn't complete. Hello? Sometimes we get all uptight at God and all uptight about our situation, and the plan ain't complete. Hang on. Joseph goes into slavery, and God blesses him. He gets a job. He's the servant in Potiphar's house. And then you know the story. Potiphar's wife took a shine to Joseph, and she come around, you know, all goo-goo-eyed and being naughty. Joseph said, nope, ain't going to happen. Made her mad. After day after day after day after she pressed him to lay with her or lie with her, and Joseph said no, she got angry, and so she accused Joseph of rape. I mean, you know, that's serious stuff. And he was innocent as the day is long. And Joseph could have given up, threw in the towel, and said, it's just too hard. It's just too much. I just feel overwhelmed. And I just feel like it ain't going to turn out good. But that ain't what he done. Joseph just continued to believe God and hang on to the promise of God. Amen. And have faith in God and keep his eyes upon the Lord. And God blessed Joseph when he was in the jail. So much so that the jailer, the head jailer, put Joseph over everything in the jailhouse. Gave him favor. But the favor of God ain't what saved him. The peace of God just give him peace in his heart about the whole thing while he was going through it. But I'm going to tell you, the peace of God is not what saved him. What saved him, Pastor Gary? You'll find it in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 21. It says, even though Joseph is going through all of this stuff, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And showed him mercy. A compassionate act. A tender compassion of the Lord. What saved Joseph? It was the compassion of God. It was the mercy of God. Amen. What am I getting at this morning? Some of you sitting right here in this place this morning are going through some hard times. Some of you are facing some difficult situations, and the enemy's hopped on your shoulder and said, you might as well throw in the towel. You might as well give up. You might as well turn it in because it's all over. Honey, it ain't over until God says it's over. And when God says it's over, that'll be the final count. But I'm here to tell you, amen, mercy can be extended to us in our time of need. I slept good Friday. I slept good Saturday. I quit worrying about it after I saw it. Because I said, Lord, I realize not only is your grace sufficient, thank God. And not only is your peace enough to help see me through, but oh, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you that when you see me struggling, you have mercy and your compassion are renewed every morning. Think about it for a moment. When my children were small and now my grandchildren, you know, they fall or hurt themselves and get a boo-boo or an owie. Oh, Papa, Mom and Daddy, anybody with any kind of compassion wants to just pick them up and love them and let them know it's all right. I gotcha. It's okay. It may hurt. I mean, you know, your loving on them may not take away the hurt. But you just keep loving on them and keep holding on to them and it subsides. God says, I have an extraordinary measure of mercy. In other words, I got an extra big hug and a kiss on the cheek when you're struggling, when you're going through hell and high water, when you're feeling the flames. I got you, son. I got you, daughter. Amen. You're right here in my mouth. All you got to do is receive it. God has an extraordinary measure of mercy. What's all Joseph through? God showed him mercy. God showed him mercy and gave him grace or gave him favor. But God relieved his suffering with mercy. I'm here to tell you this morning that God has an extraordinary measure of mercy for those of you that are struggling here this morning. And I believe with all of my heart that I wasn't the only one that lost some sleep this past week. I got a feeling that in my spirit that I wasn't the only one that was praying about something. I wasn't the only one that was worrying about something and fretful about something. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, his grace is sufficient. His mercy is never ending and his peace passes all understanding. All we have to do is receive it this morning. Bow your heads, please. Stand up on your feet, if you will. Bow your heads. An extraordinary measure of mercy. An extraordinary measure of mercy. He has it for you this morning. He has it for you this morning. Bow your heads. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for making an extraordinary measure of mercy available to us. Thank you for making an extraordinary measure of mercy available to us in our time of struggle and in our time of need. Thank you, Lord, for demonstrating over and over and over again in your word, Father, that there are no bounds to your grace. There are no limits to your love. And there are no limits to your tender compassion to us, Lord. Father, I admit this morning that there are times that I have endeavored to handle the situation myself or on my own. But I freely admit that with me, it was not possible. But with you, O God, all things are possible. That with you, Father, all things are possible. And that it is through your tender compassions and your tender mercies upon us that rather than slipping and falling, we are upheld by your gentle mercy. You understand our weaknesses and our frailties. And your grace is sufficient and your mercy is enough. Today, I ask you, Lord, to help us to open our hearts. And I pray that, Father, you will extend an extraordinary measure of mercy to those who are here in this house, who are struggling, that are faced with situations this morning, Lord, that keep them awake at night. Pour your mercy into their hearts by faith, Father. Pour your mercy and your grace and your peace and your power into their spirit and help them to stand. Give them victory. Just as the Holy Spirit wanted to remind Timothy and Titus, Father, remind these that are here this morning that you desire to come along and tuck into our heart an extraordinary measure of your mercy to empower us to overcome. I ask all of these things, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you are here in this place this morning? And you would slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I need an extraordinary measure of mercy in my heart today. God sees your hand. God sees your hand and your hand and your hand and your hand and yours and yours and yours and yours. I need an extension of God's mercy to me today. Anyone else? Anyone else should slip up your hand and say, that's me. Amen. All right, if you lifted your hand, do me the honor of coming and standing right here in front of the house of God. Let me share a prayer with you today. You lifted your hand, come. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Praise his name, praise his name. Praise his name. Anyone else? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I want you just to lift up your hands this morning. Say, Lord, you see where I am. You see my heart. You know the hurts. You know the struggle. You know the challenges. I have no answer. I've tried to be strong. I've tried to handle it on my own. But I have failed. I have fallen. And the only thing that can hold me up is your tender compassion. Your mercy. Father, we ask for your mercy here this morning. We ask for your mercy here this morning. Extend to everyone that has come and everyone that is in need an extraordinary measure of your mercy this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. I ask it in Jesus' name. Those of you that are still in your seat, just lift your hands to these that have stepped out and come forward this morning and pray for them and pray with them. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name.